Sanhedrin, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey, 4-5. This is a long Mishnah. It's actually, honestly, one of the most fascinating and important Mishnahs in all of Shas. There's so much to say here. We'll try, just have to cherry-pick the best stuff. It says, Ketzad ma'aymen es ha'edim al edei nefashos. How do we impose upon witnesses who are coming to testify regarding a capital case the gravity of the situation, the intensity of it? Ma'aymen means sort of instill fear inside of them, okay? Because this is obviously serious business, and the consequences are that we're going to rely on them to ultimately potentially execute somebody, and that's death. That's obviously as heavy as it gets. So therefore, we have to make sure they do things right. So, says the Mishnah, Hayu machnis nosan, we'd bring them in front of the Bezdin, ma'aymen lein, and we impose upon them this, the gravity of the situation. We say, now we're going to give four things in this first section. We say, Shema, maybe tomru ma'omed. Maybe you're going to say something based on your own estimation, meaning what I'll call circumstantial evidence. So in other words, you saw Reuven chasing Shimon. He was waving a sword in his hand. He turned a corner. The next thing you know, you chase after them. You turn the corner, and there you see, you know, Shimon dead, Reuven's sword bleeding, dripping blood. And you're like, oh my gosh, Reuven just killed Shimon. Well, actually, you didn't see Reuven kill Shimon. You just are guessing that he did based on the circumstantial evidence. That's called ma'omet, because you actually didn't see the event of Reuven sticking that sword into Shimon. You just see, you know, what seems to be the obvious facts. But they're not obvious. We need first-hand witness of what happened, and we don't have that necessarily. So don't testify on what you didn't actually see. Second of all, umishmua. Don't tell us things that you know from rumors, meaning, you know, everyone's talking about it. You heard about it. You're not even sure who said it first or where it came from, but everyone knows this happened. That's not called testimony, okay? Then we have aid mipi aid. So this is a third thing. According to the Tiferes Yisrael, this is basically, you know, if you heard someone formally testifying in front of another Bezdin that he saw it happen, and you're just, that was a testimony. You're just reporting that testimony as if you knew it as fact. That's also not allowed. And similarly, umipi adam ne'eman shamanu, or if you heard it from someone who you know wouldn't lie to you. In other words, you didn't see the murder take place, but you know, you bumped into the guy who a second ago just saw it happen, and he tells you exactly what happened, or your rabbi told you, your father told you, and you know that this is the truth of what happened. Still, you didn't see it personally, and therefore you can't relay it. You shouldn't relay what isn't true, meaning that you saw when you didn't actually see it. And these last two cases of Eid Mipi Eid and Mipi Adam Ne'aman Shamanu, those are what we called hearsay. I mean, you get it from somebody else, not from your own direct observation. So, or on the flip side, those first, I'll call it four cases, are where perhaps a person is trying to do right. You know, he is just trying to, you know, he's fudging over the fact he didn't quite see exactly the moment of the event, because he wants to, so to speak, do the right thing and get rid of the bad guy. But you could be the other way around. Maybe the person has intention of doing not right. And so the Mishnah says, the judges say to the would-be witness, Oshema I atem yodim shesofeinu livdok eschem bedrisha v'chakira. Maybe you don't realize, say the Dayanim to the witnesses, we're going to essentially probe deeply. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions to ascertain that you really were there and what you saw. And if you guys are lying or making it up, it's going to come out. And when it comes out, you know, you're going to be humiliated, and they're never going to realize you guys are a bunch of liars, and you'll never, you know, work in this town again, and people won't trust you, and, you know, you won't be allowed. So that's terrible. So therefore, be warned that if you're making stuff up, it's going to come out, and it's going to be very bad for you. Further says the Mishnah, Hevu Yodin, you should know. There's like a third point. The judges are now impressing upon the witnesses the severity of the situation. Shalok dini mamonos dini nefashos. You can't compare the consequences of false testimony in like a generic, you know, financial crime type case. You know, someone owes someone money or a loan or a broken window or a broken nose. You can't compare that to dini nefashos, where someone's being tried for murder. Because dini mamonos, if you're talking about a financial situation, adam nosin mamonu mischaper lo. If you did wrong in a situation that involved, you know, some sort of financial problem, so it's easy to fix it. You basically just say you're sorry, you make amends, you cut a check to pay what you owe, to reimburse the guy for the loss you caused, and like, okay, shalom yisrael, you can move on with life. But obviously, if someone dies, you can't bring them back. You can't fix that with all the money in the world. When it comes to killing somebody, dam avodam zari osav toluin bo ad sofa olam. The blood of the guy who you're going to cause to get killed, and also the blood of all his descendants from now till forevermore. They're all gone. You can't bring them back. And your testimony caused him to get executed when it shouldn't have been done. So that's really obviously cataclysmic. Shekin Matsinu Bakayin, we bring a pasuk to show him what we mean by not just him, but you're causing like countless generations to be killed as well. Because when Cain is in Cain and Abel, Cain Shaharag Es Achiv, when Cain killed his brother Hevel, Abel, as Shneamar, the pasuk says, Dame Achicha Tzoakim, Hashem says to Cain that the actual pasuk says, Kol Dame Achicha Tzoakim Alai, the voice of the bloods of your brother are calling out, screaming out to me. So Eino Omer Dam Achicha, it doesn't say the blood, singular, of your brother, Hevel, but rather Ella Deme Achicha, the bloods, plural, of your brother. Why is that the case? There's done in plural. Shadamu Vodam Zeraosav, not only his blood, but the blood of all of his descendants were, you know, lost in this murder, and they're all screaming out to Hashem, so to speak. So the point is, there's a sort of an endless chain that you're breaking by causing a person to die. So therefore, you don't do it lightly, obviously, God forbid. Now, the Mishnah up to now has been basically sort of giving almost like a script of what the judges are saying to the witnesses, to sort of impress upon them that they shouldn't take this matter lightly. It's a big deal how they testify. Okay, now, the Mishnah now puts that on pause. In other words, the Mishnah is going to just talk about, since we talked about this pasuk of Demei Achicha, we're going to now just say a couple, we're going off script for a minute, and we're saying what else can we learn from that pasuk. It's not something that we say to the witnesses. Okay, so like put that on pause in like a big parenthesis. Davar Acher, by the way, says the Mishnah, that something else the word Demei Achicha tells you, the bloods of your brother. The Demei Achicha Shahaya Damo Mushlach Al Ha'etzim Val Ha'avanim. That it says the bloods of your brother Hevel, because there was splashed the blood every which way on the trees and on the rocks everywhere. As the Gemara explains, that what happened was, you know, these are the first people alive, and Cain didn't know how to kill Hevel. He was just angry at him and just, you know, just took his whatever, you know, and whacked him every which way he could. But until he basically stuck, you know, whatever sharp thing into Hevel's neck, which killed him. There was like he was sticking, you know, he's sticking him into his arm and into his leg and his thigh and his shoulder. So there's blood all over the place. So that's the Mishnah referring to that. But that is not relevant to the discussion really about how we impose the situation of the gravity situation to the witnesses. Okay, so now, parentheses closes over here. Lefikach, therefore. So this Lefikach here, we're basically saying now we hearken back to Gan Eden in the beginning, but there's a basic question which is implicit. It's not asked here, but the question that people also wonder is when it comes to Bria Olam, the original creation of the world, so all the other, you know, animals were created in pairs, male and female, but there's only one Adam Arishon, there was only one human being. Perhaps he was Zachar Nekeva Brosa, maybe perhaps he was like had male and female components to him, but he was only one single creature, not two. Why would Hashem do that? It's very strange. But he did, to teach you something. What did he teach you? Lefikach, and therefore Nivra Adam Yechidi. A person was created, therefore, Yechidi, singly, as a single individual. Lamdecha, to teach you, Shekol Hama'abed Nefesh Achas Mi Yisrael, Ma'ala V'kasav Ki'ilu Ibed Olam Malei. To teach you that, you know, out of this one person comes a whole universe of people, like the bloods of your brother, right? So descendants forever. So Adam Rishon, of course, all the blood of all of humanity would come out of him, so to speak. All the descendants would come from him. So if you would cause this person who you're testifying against to die, you know, it's like you're like creating a whole universe to die. Right? This person, everything that you know about your world is going inside of your head. All your loves and fears and aspirations and everything that's all going on in that person's head also. It's a whole world. So if you cause them to die, it's like you've destroyed a whole universe. Now the word achas miyisrael, nefesh achas miyisrael, Jewish life, there are versions of the Mishnah that don't have the word yisrael, but simply just a nefesh, someone who causes a human being to die, destroys a whole world. And very importantly, the Rambam doesn't mention Yisrael. He just says Mavis Nefesh, to cause a person to die already is like a destroying a whole world, Jew or non-Jew. V'chol makayim nefesh achas miYisrael, and anybody who saves a life, or a life of a Jew, then ma'ale lav akasov, like it's as if, ki'ilu kiyam olam hamale, as if he saved a whole world. Okay? Now, that we do tell to the witnesses. Now, again, we're going to go off script again. So we're putting that on pause. We're going to bring a few different other limudim, things you can learn from the fact that Adam Rishon was created as a single being instead of as a pair of a male and a female originally. And this is, again, not relevant to intimidating or putting, you know, fear into the witnesses. So they shouldn't lie. But anyways, I mentioned here again, by the way, so parentheses, umetnei shalom habrios. Another reason why Adam Rishon was created by himself was so that there should be, you know, peace, harmony amongst humanity, between individuals. Shelo yomar Adam lechavero, so that a person shouldn't be able to say to his fellow, Abba gadol me'avicha, my ancestor was more important than your ancestor, because obviously they both have the same ultimate answer. They come from the same exact great-great-great-grandfather. A single person was their progenitor, so from the same stock. A second point that we're learning from the fact Adam was created by himself, that we're not telling to the witnesses, it's just the mention of the Mishnah, so you should learn it, is that an important lesson, of course, is that so people shouldn't think that there are multiple divinities, you know, multiple gods up there in heaven, and each one kind of created their different kind of person in their own image. So like, in other words, don't think they're like good guys and bad guys, that the good God created the good guys and the bad guy created the bad guys, and children of light and children of darkness or children of the devil. None of that stuff. There's only the teacher. There's only one creation originally. So there's just this one creator, and that's all there is. There's just a Hashem. We're monotheists. Ulahagid gudulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a third thing that we can learn from Adam Rishon being created alone, but again, this is not mentioned to the witnesses, it's to show like the incredible creative genius, creative capacity, the astounding marvel of Hashem and his capacities. Because she'adam tovea kama matbeos b'chosam echad v'chulan domen zelazeh. If a person's going to, let's say, you know, mint coins, so if he'll use a stamp, a single stamp, to mint all those coins, and all the coins come out looking exactly identical. When it comes to the King of Kings, Hashem, Tava kol Adam b'chosamo shel Adam harishon. Every human being since Adam Rishon, you know, carries Adam's DNA, let's call it, but he's in the every creation, every man and woman is in the mold of the original Adam Rishon, the original first human being. Meaning, we'll have two legs, two eyes, two arms, and so on. Like, you know, we can identify a person from a chimpanzee in a second because they're a human being. But even though we're all essentially got the same plan, the same tzur, the same what makes us humans is identical amongst all of us, but even though there are just billions upon billions of human beings who have been created, they're all radically, totally, uniquely different. Everyone's unique. And that is incredible, obviously, that they're from the same exact mint, but each person comes out being unique and what happens to him and what makes him himself or herself. And that's obviously an extraordinary testament to the gedula, the greatness, the genius, the creative capacity of Hashem. So that's what the Mishnah says inside. It says that Melech Malchim Lechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tava Kol Adam B'chosamo Shel Adam HaRishon. Hashem created every person with the same mint as the first Adam, meaning in the tzura of an Adam, in the shape and the form of what it means to be a human being. And yet no two people are alike. Now, two people on planet Earth are ever alike. Obviously, twins are identical, but people, that's a separate genetic issue. But in terms of, there's no someone else walking around that you don't know about sitting there in France who looks just like you. No. Now, back on script, meaning now the pause is over. Those two limudim were side points, but now we're back to impressing upon the would-be witnesses the gravity of what they're doing. Says the mission, therefore, lefikach kol echad, l'sos lefikach, and therefore is going back to people being created in the image, that Adam Rishon was created as a yechidi, as a private single person, only one, uniquely. So that lefikach kol echad ve'echad chayev lomar bishvili nevra olam, that every person should say, and this is really wow, this is like obviously bedrock of Jewish hashkafa. Kol echad ve'echad, every human being on planet Earth, chayav lomar, he is obligated to say to himself, bishvili nivra olam, the world was created for me, meaning for me to take responsibility for. And if I do an avera, that will tip the scales of the whole universe out of whack, and God forbid. So the point is, you have to look at yourself as like the whole world was created for you, and everything hangs in the balance of you succeeding or failing in your mission to do right and perfect this world. So therefore, you better not mislead the courts, because everything will go cataclysmically wrong because of you. Now, that's like, so far, we've basically given you the script of what we do to sort of impress upon these witnesses why they should really be very hesitant and, you know, circumspect, careful in what they do in terms of their testimony. But now, if that's the case, people are going to say, ugh, who needs this? V'shema tomru, maybe you witnesses are going to say to yourselves, ma lanu v'letzara hazos, like, who needs this already? This is, you know, we're playing with fire, we couldn't get someone killed, and like, I mean, why should we just get involved? Let's just excuse ourselves, and this is our problem, let's leave it out, let's leave ourselves out. And if we leave ourselves out, then we have nothing to worry about. V'alok farnamar, the problem is, don't even think about that, because it's a separate pasuk. This is a pasuk from Chumash. It says, V'hu eid o ra'a o yada im lo yagid. If a person witnessed something, or he saw something, or he knows something, and the courts need his testimony to figure things out, and a person says, I'm not getting involved, so then the pasuk ends by saying, V'nasa avono, the person who fails to give the information that he has to the court, he bears responsibility. He is sinning. He bears his sin. And therefore, you can't withhold information you have from the courts. We need to know the truth. And that's that. Now, maybe you're going to say, v'shem atomru, maybe you'll think to yourself, malanu lachov badamo shelzeh. This is like sort of liberal talk here, which is like, who are we to cause this guy to die? Like, what right do we have to cause him to get killed? Good, like he did a wrong thing, Hashem can punish him, but why should we be the agents of that? Like, well, why do we have to be involved in that? It's not nice. Let's just keep our hands clean and let Hashem deal with this, or whatever the story is. So, ma lanu lachov badamo shelzeh, who are we? Why should we cause this person to get punished? V'lo kvar ne'amar, the pasuk says, this is a pasuk not in Chumash, but in Mishlei, but the point here again is to tell you proper Jewish hashkafa, that uva avod rasha'im rina, uva avod, and in the destruction rasha'im of the wicked people, rina, there is a rejoicing, singing, gladness. The point is that there's this incredible tension going on, and we'll see in the next parak Be'ez Hashem more about this, that on the one hand, the Torah says someone who, you know, does a capital crime and ticks all the boxes in terms of Edom and Hasra and all the rest, so then, yeah, we're gonna execute them and we're gonna be happy about it because this is showing that there's justice and consequences. On the other hand, there's like sort of like the responsibility of the judges to do whatever they can essentially to find a way not to execute. Like, we're trying not to execute. Hashem is telling us, execute if you've got to, but if you don't have to, find a way out. So therefore, on the one hand, we're saying, if someone ticked all the boxes, he was warned by witnesses, and he said, I don't care, I'm doing it anyways, and it's something terrible. Okay, so then, yes, we're going to get rid of him, and we're going to be very happy about that, and we're going to be happy. But, on the other hand, we're going to do our very best to save him, because we don't want to kill people unnecessarily, and even if it means getting him off on a technicality, we're okay with that. We want that to happen. So we're looking for the technicality, and therefore we need witnesses that will testify to exactly what they know in a way that's conforming with the halacha, based on what they saw, and not what they didn't see, etc.